Okay. Y'all can hear me now, can't you? All righty. Got that fixed. Luke chapter 10. I promise y'all I know there's more than Luke 10 in the Bible. And we've been preaching there a lot over the last couple of weeks. I guess last Wednesday night we preached from there. And then Sunday night we kind of got started in the same direction. We went ahead this evening, if the Lord will help us. This section of Scripture really has consumed me this month. It's been a great part of my meditation and personal study as well as study for the church. And I've got way more than I could ever give in one service, in one message, sermon, whatever you want to call it. And so we're just kind of giving you some ponderings of our heart out of this passage of Scripture. If you will, stand with me. And we'll read these verses again, familiar portion. And let's open our heart wide and let the Lord speak to us and fill us up tonight. Bible said in verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray together. And we'll continue our thought here about the presence of God. Father, I'm so thankful tonight that you've let us be back in the house of the Lord. Lord, on this midweek service, prayer meeting night, we're thankful we can enter into the house of prayer. We've, Lord, shared our burdens and taken time, Lord, to call those out to you. And Father, we're thankful tonight that we serve a God that Lord, is interested in our needs. And before we even ask, Lord, you already know what's going on in our life, and that you're a God that is touched with the things that touch our life. And Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that you'd help every need and lift every burden. Lord, answer every request. Father, everything that this congregation has need of tonight, I pray, Father, you'd either deal with it, or may your grace be sufficient to help us, Lord, another day to bear those burdens. And Father, I pray now for the next few moments that you'd help us as we study the Word of God together. I pray, Father, that you'd make alive your Word. And Lord, may it speak to us this evening. And Lord, may we leave here with something, Lord, some truth in our life that we can hold on to. May we be challenged. May we be stirred. And Father, may in the end of it all, you get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated this evening. We're interested in this passage of Scriptures. The Bible said about the ministry of the Lord as he's traveling. The Bible said in verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village." And we've been interested in that thought. In the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, being God in the flesh, everywhere that Jesus went, you certainly understand tonight, and it was the presence of God that entered. And when the Bible said that it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, that at day the Lord entered in there, obviously in the same city Martha lived in as he enters into our house. And according to John 11, that village and that city and that town would be the place known as Bethany. John chapter 11 deals with the fact that that was the hometown of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And we find the Lord enters in there, and thus the presence of God is made manifest in that place of Bethany. We noted last Wednesday night at Bethany literally means the house of depression or the house of misery, and deals with the place of pain. And the Lord shows up there in this passage of Scripture in a very place known for depression, known evidently for hardship, and known for misery. But the Lord was interested in that crowd that lived in Bethany. I'm interested tonight, this evening, as we dealt with last Wednesday night, the life of Mary and the character of Mary in this story. Tonight, I'm more interested in her sister, Martha, as we consider the Lord go going into Bethany. I preach along the same line. In fact, I want to give the same thought that we preach from on Sunday night, but I want to maybe take a little different road getting there this evening. I'm interested in Martha. Martha's an interesting figure in this story and even in the scripture tonight. But I'm interested, if you want to follow along and keep notes as we make our way down to where we want to be. Notice the mention of Martha in this passage of scripture. A Bible said again in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and there a Lord manifests himself in this village, in this town." My friend, as he makes his way in, Martha is mentioned as the one in whom has received the very presence of the Lord in her house. A Bible said, "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Consider three things in this mention of Martha in this one verse speaks of tonight. I find that in my mind it speaks of her consideration of Christ. Amen. The Lord shows up. I don't know how many in population that Bethany has. I don't know how many is on their charter of their little village, but I know this. There was one woman in that town and in that place. And my friend said, the Lord's come to Bethany, this place in depression, and if he's going to go anywhere, I want him to come and be a part of my house. And we find here that this consideration of Christ that she has in receiving him into her house, and it speaks in the fact that she had a welcoming spirit for the presence of God. She didn't, my friend, she wasn't interested in the Lord going to her neighbor, and she wasn't interested in the Lord visiting somebody down the road, and she wasn't interested in the Lord doing something in one of her friend's houses. There's a consideration in her heart at my friend, her life in Bethany and her life in this place of misery. At my friend, she desires and is consideration of Christ for him to come into her very world, into her family, and into her life, and to do something for her. And I say tonight, we ought to have a welcoming spirit. We ought to have a desire in our heart to be around the presence of God. And as we'll see in a moment, Martha, I believe, is a saved woman. She don't always have the attitude of a saved person. My friend, I believe she's saved. And being saved, I believe she had a desire when the Lord came near and came back. And my friend, she wanted him to feel welcome around where she was. And let me ask you this question and that. How welcome does God feel? How, and when God considers your life and your relationship to him, how welcome does God feel, amen, coming around where you live? How does he, amen, how much have you considered him in having a spirit of welcoming the Lord? And my friend, he could stop by your little world and pay you a visit tonight. When the Lord went to Bethany, oftentimes he would reside in the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Why? Because he knew they had a desire of the Lord to show up in their little world. Amen. Let me say this tonight. Amen. God will show up where he's welcoming. God, my friend, will give his presence and manifest it to a people or a person or a church that has a consideration for him to come back. I am often blown. My mind is blown. I surely would not want to be a part of a church that is mentioned there in Revelation 3, the church of Laodicea. I mean, a church that on the outside had it all nailed down, but spiritually was lacking in so many areas. And one thing that blows my mind is that the Lord still references them as his people and as his church, and he's knocking on the door, desiring to come in and to say, if just one person would open the door if one person would consider me, if one person would welcome me in, I would come in and I would meet there with that individual in such a wicked place. Amen. That reminds me tonight that the Lord sure does desire to come back, but he's waiting on someone that is willing to receive him in. Oh, this women, the statement, a certain woman named Martha received him in her house. Not only speaks tonight in this mention of Martha, it speaks of her consideration of Christ, but I think it speaks tonight about her conclusion about Christ. But you've got to understand when you come to the end of Luke chapter number 10, everybody doesn't love the Lord. In fact, he's reached a point in his earthly ministry where there are those that have begun to work against him. Even in our text in Luke chapter number 10, the Bible speaks of a certain lawyer in verse 25. A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so there's a growing contention in the land of Israel toward the ministry of Christ. They don't like him, and there's many that have been following him that are turning away. And the fact that the Lord shows up in Bethany, and Martha says, basically, I can picture him a mat, and she's saying, "But then there are those that don't want him in their house. There are those that are rejecting him, but he's welcome in my house." Why? Because I think she, my friend, and her mad has concluded Jesus to be the Christ, the anointed one sent from God. Amen. Listen, everybody else is trying to stomp the Lord. Everybody else is trying to run him out of Israel. My friend, she had already concluded that he was the Messiah, he was the Savior, he was the Son of God and God in the flesh, and that truth had changed her life. And now, my friend, because of her conclusion about the Lord, she receives him and longs to be in his presence. Can I say tonight, Aunt Martha, my friend, I know she's got issues, and we're trying to get there tonight. One thing I like about Martha is that when everybody else, my friend, was pushing him away, when everybody else wanted to hang on to their tradition rather than to embrace the Christ, amen, she said, "He came to Bethany, and he's this close, and he's done something for me. He is the Christ. He is my Savior, my God, and my Lord. He is welcome to be where I am." And I say tonight, same folk, my friend, who have concluded Christ to be all that God has said that he is, amen, they want God to be a part of their life. That's what Martha's saying. Amen. I don't know how many invitations the Lord got when he walked into Bethany that day or that evening, but I know this. Amen. There's a little woman down there in Bethany that he has already changed her life. He's already, my friend, proven to her that he's everything that he says he is. And because that truth has changed her life, amen, she wants him to be there and he wants to be where she is. Her consideration of Christ, this mention of Martha, speaks tonight of her conclusion about Christ. But I want you to understand this mention of Martha. I believe as we kind of maybe even drive the same point home, and it speaks tonight of her concentration on Christ. Amen. When he came to Bethany, she knew that he was there. When he got near and was passing by, she had enough awareness of the Lord and where he was and what he was doing there. My friend, when he came to town, she gladly opened up her door in her house and her dwelling so the Lord could come in. Notice something, women, and that even beyond that, is that when the Lord comes in, that I believe his approach and his manifesting himself, that Martha was infatuated with that. If you will, I almost missed this as I have meditated and chewed on it. Notice notice with me again in verse 38 and in verse number 39, I want to point out one word. The Bible said, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which, notice the little word also, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. A little word also reminds you and indicates to you and upon entrance into her house, Martha sat there with Mary at the feet of the Lord. And at the feet of the Lord, at some point upon him entering that house, amen, she found herself also with Mary at the feet of the Lord. Amen. When she hears he's coming into Bethany, amen, I don't know if she went herself or sent word. Somehow the Lord knew Aunt Martha down there has opened her door to me. I'm going to go pay her a visit. And Brother Dean, he makes his way in. And upon doing so, we know Mary's at the feet of the Lord. That word also indicates that Aunt Martha at some point in this story has been in the feet of the Lord. She's been enjoying his presence. She has given her attention to him. She's concentrated on him. Amen. She's living where he's at. She's living in the very presence of God, and is, amen, if you will, infatuated with what the Lord has shown up to do. Does that make sense tonight? Amen. Martha ain't always the Martha we're going to preach about here in a moment. Amen. Martha had a moment of time, or an hour of time, or some time, even in this story, where Martha is sitting there enjoying the presence of God. She knows something about the presence of the Lord. As I said on Sunday night, amen, you study out Bethany, in particular the house of Martha. She knows something about the preaching of his presence. Every time the Lord comes to Bethany into the house of Martha, you study it. Studied in the earthly ministry of the Lord, every time he's got something to say. In our text, they're at the feet of the Lord, and they're hearing his word. He's got a word for her every time that he shows up. She knows something about the passion of his presence. They sent word in John 11 and said, you go tell the Lord that he whom thou lovest has become sick. Lazarus died. The Lord showed up 4 days into the funeral, and he began to weep, and that crowd said, behold how he loved him. And my friend, I'm telling you that when the Lord came around and manifested his presence, Aunt Martha knew what it was to be concentrated and affected by the presence of God coming by and revealing how much that he loved her. Hey man, I ain't got time to develop all this tonight. My friend, she knew something about the purpose of his presence. It was in the Lord's earthly ministry that before he went into Jerusalem, that Brother Jack, he said to two of his disciples as he came to Bethpage, and he came to Bethpage and to Bethany, the Bible said he came near unto those two villages, and he looked at his disciples and said, I want you to go into the next village, likely it was that of Bethany, and there he commanded them, when you enter the city, you're going to find a colt there, tied up, untie him, loose him, and bring him back to me. And when the master of the house asks you what you do it, you tell them that the master hath need of him. Amen. When you study John 11, it's clear to me that Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived at the entrance in that city. It was before the Lord got into the village of Bethany that Martha ran out to meet him. As he comes right into the city, it's Mary that runs to meet him there and falls down on her face and communes with the Lord. And so the disciples go, I believe, to Bethany, and they loose that cold, and they're taking him back to the master, back to the Lord. And the owners, the Bible said, said to them disciples, what do you do it with our colt? That's good old Cock County interpretation. What in the world are you do it with our mule? And so they turned to him and they say, a master said that he has need of him. It appears from the way the Lord communicates and the way that that simple message was received, and whoever owned that colt at the entrance of that village was acquainted with the ministry of the Lord. Amen. Could it be? You can't prove me wrong. Amen. This evening, I may not be right, but you can't prove me wrong. And it's likely Bethany and Martha's house, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, a little colt that was taken that day as the Lord came near and put his hands on something they had and took it to bring glory and to magnify it and to lift up himself. And tonight she knows what it is from the Lord. Come by and my friend with a purpose, touch her life and touch what's in her life that the Lord could be magnified. And I say she knows something about the power of his presence. It was the Lord that showed up in Bethany 4 days after Lazarus died. It was the Lord's presence that came by that day and said, Lazarus, come forth. And old Lazarus said, came a hopping out of the tomb that day. And my friend, the Lord said, loose him and let him go. Martha was acquainted and concentrated and affected by the presence of God in her life. Amen. Notice with me the mention of Martha. Amen. Her consideration, her conclusion and her concentration. Notice with me tonight in verse 40. I've got to hasten up. Amen. I'm in introduction. I'm going to be all night. The Bible said here in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. The Bible said as she begins to speak to the Lord, that Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And the Bible said, and bid her therefore that she help me. And the Lord begins to confront her in the furtherance of this text about my friend, all that she's doing. Now, we'll deal with that in a moment, but consider the ministry of Martha. We see her mentioned in verse 38. We see the ministry of Martha. What verse 40 indicates to me tonight is that my friend Martha had a servant nature. It was something about the Lord, and it wasn't just the Lord that came back. Brother A.L., his disciples came with him, and when they came into her house, she's sitting at his feet, and she looks around, and no doubt, amen, like some of you ladies, she liked to cook, and she thought, man, these Baptist preachers look hungry. I'm going to make them a meal. And she jumps up, and her intentions are good, and no doubt, amen, she sees a need in somebody's life, and she moves into action to minister to a crowd that has come by her way. The servant nature of Martha is interesting, yet that it appears to me she didn't know that they were coming, and in some ways them showing up could have been an inconvenience, but she wasn't worried about that. She just wanted to be a blessing to these that had come by her way. Can I say we're losing that in our independent fundamental Baptist churches, that spirit of servitude and being a servant, my friend, to our generation and to one another and even to sinners. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And he told his disciples that the servant is not greater than his master. And so the Lord portrayed a servant attitude, and no doubt Martha in this text, her intentions are right, her desire is right. She's the kind of person that sits in a church, and if you need something done, you can ask her, and she'll jump to it and get it done, no questions asked. I mean, she's the model church member that you want. Amen. She's not the kind that said, hey, anything you need, you call me, and then you call me, and they're too busy to do anything. Somebody say amen. I've pastored that crowd, not necessarily here, I don't guess, at least you hadn't showed it yet, but amen, in my first church, man, that big crowd say, hey, preacher, anything you need, Anytime, day or night, you call, I'm there, and we'll get it done. Woo, we're behind you, and we'll help you. Amen. And listen, whether they meant it or not, I don't know. Amen. But when you called, amen, and something else is going on in their life, and there was an inconvenience all of a sudden, a servant attitude made way to their, amen, gave way to their selfish spirit. It ain't the way with Martha. Martha has a ministering attitude. She has a spirit where she don't care if you inconvenience her. She doesn't care. Hey man, if you show up and bring 12 of your best friends with you, hey man, she's ready to be a servant to those that God brings her way. Amen. And by the way, can I say this? Where God comes and manifests Himself, He'll bring people with Him that we're to minister to. Amen. You see, all these wicked sinner folk coming in, what are we going to do about that? We're going to serve them. Amen. We're going to minister to them. Amen. You want to know when the presence of God is really truly manifest in the church? Watch that crowd that my friend, as God comes in, He'll bring folk, amen, around that He says, all right, they're here, now you serve them. Martha has a ministering spirit, a servant spirit that is on display in this text. And consider with me tonight, not only the mention in the ministry, but what we want to deal with tonight in the, amen, Lord, I've done preached 25 minutes, but hang with me, I'll give it to you quick, the mistake of Martha. The Bible said in verse number 40 that Martha was cumbered about much service, and she begins to speak to the Lord in such a way that, my friend, we'll deal with that in a moment. We've had, my friend, the mention of Martha reminds you of that, and it was Martha that sent word and invited the Lord to come back. We understand the Lord's ministry, that the Lord had frequented at the village of Bethany, and on many occasions when He went to Bethany, as far as we know, He had only gone to one of two places, either the house of Simon the leper, or He'd be down at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Martha knows what it is for the Lord to come back and the Lord to lodge in her house and to eat at her table and to give her a word and to love on her and to manifest His purpose and to display His power in His life as He comes back. My friend, even in our text, as we've already noted, Martha has been sitting at the feet of the Lord, and she's just glad that He's came back again. Amen. She's glad that He showed up and He's got another word for her. She's just glad that the Lord has stopped by one more time. But the mistake that I believe that she made, amen, she didn't stay there. She, my friend, got, if I can put it this way, she got distracted. She got cumbered about, and we'll deal with that in a moment. She got, amen, her concentration began to be divided where she realizes the Lord is here, but, amen, I see the dirty dishes in the sink. I see the food that's got to be prepared. I see this, it has to be done. And most of you women are like this. I know my wife is like this. That I mean, just about everything in the house can be clean, but if there's a few dishes on the counter, she can't enjoy anything else because she's thinking there's dishes on that counter need washing. Martha's got that mentality. The Lord's there. He showed up. He's there to preach and to love on them and to do something in their life. He's there to display all His power and all His virtue. And we find that Martha, amen, leaves the presence of God and begins to engage in things that are notable, in things that, my friend, we're not talking wicked, sinful things. Amen. She begins to be busy. And in her busyness, amen, Martha missed a blessing. There are many people tonight that haven't yet learned in their Christian life. And by the way, we ought to be serving. But this text is not about doing, this text is about being.
This text tonight is about you and I understanding that the Christian life, my friend, that our relationship with God as we walk with Him and fellowship with Him, we must live that in the very presence of God. And the mistake that Martha made is that I believe that Martha, as we said on Sunday night, that Martha just began to be too acquainted with the presence of God. And by that, I mean that she began to take it for granted. And every time He comes to Bethany, He comes by her house. Every time He stops by, He's got a word. Every time and I need something, He's been faithful to be there and to manifest Himself. In my life. I don't know what it is, what necessarily is going on in her mind. Maybe it is Martha feels like that, my friend, he'll be back tomorrow. He'll show up again down the road. He'll have a word for me somewhere, amen, in another service or in another occasion. And she just began to take it for granted that the Lord was there. And I say tonight, as we are trying to emphasize tonight and in some of our previous services, that it is a blessing to have the presence of God. On a personal level, on a church level, on a family level, to know something about the presence of God is a blessing. But can I say, in churches like ours where God shows up on a regular basis, and y'all understand it ain't like it is everywhere. It ain't like this everywhere. Right. Yeah. Travel with Brother Joe and Sister Priscilla and Brother Dave and Sister Patty. And my friend, you'll get in some places where, amen, you'll want to drive your car off an embankment when you get out of service. I've been in places last year when I was a traveling preaching some. Thank God we got been some great churches. There's a few places we got that Brother Dean, I wanted to pull my hair out. No God anywhere. And can I say tonight, it ain't like this everywhere. But the danger of a church like this and sitting in a church where God manifests Himself and a place where the presence of God is not only promoted here but in your personal life as well, is that if you're not careful, the Lord begins to show up where those that want Him, and He shows up, and He shows up, and He shows up, and He shows up. And the danger of that is you just begin to take it for granted. Yeah. What used to, and we've said it this way already, but Martha was in action. I mean, you look at her in that house, she's here, she's there, she's doing this, she's doing that. Look at her sister, the contrast of her sister. Where Martha is in action, Mary is in awe. I just can't believe that He showed up. I can't believe He's still here. I can't believe He's still speaking. I can't believe that He still wants something to do with somebody like me. Can I say Martha's mistake is she just took it for granted that the Lord was there. And I say something tonight, you can't live and you won't make it far in your Christian life without the presence of God. What is the danger? And I'll throw all three of these out quick and I'm done. The danger of taking for granted the presence of God. Number one, Martha got cold toward the Savior. When you just get used and you just take it for granted, well, He's been here in days gone by and He's here now and He'll always be here. My friend, when you begin to take it for granted and your mentality changes from all to where all you're interested in is being in action and doing this and doing that, my friend, it won't be long and you'll become cold toward the One that has saved you from your sin. When she enters the room, I don't know how long this went on, but evidently, and we'll see in a moment that Martha's got a problem with her sister, but my friend, beyond that, first person she has a problem with is the Lord that has changed her life. She walks in the room and she sees Mary there as she's been laboring and doing this and doing that. Amen. She pops in the room and she says, Lord, dost thou not care? In other words, listen, she would have never dared when the Lord entered in and she sat in His feet. Amen. She wasn't interested in saying much. Oh, she was interested in listening. And now, amen, because she's begun to take it for granted, Dad, now she's reached a place where she's standing up to the Lord. Lord, dost thou not care? Well, you ask her an hour ago when she's at the feet of the Lord, she knows that He cares. Amen. You ask her, my friend, in the opening of this text, amen, about the Lord and who He is. And she'll say, oh, He's got something to say that's going to change my life. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to let Him work on me. Now she's begun to take it for granted. And now she's literally rebuking the Lord. You shall ask a terrible thing. We see it happen all the time in our churches. Oh, you would never dare say audibly what she said, but it's in your heart. Amen. Lord comes by and He's there and He brings a word and He wants to work in your life. He wants to get something out of your life, put something in your life. And as He begins to sit there, you just take it for granted. Well, I've been in this meeting and that meeting. I've seen God do this, God do that. God said this to me. I know this. He's taught me that. Amen. And if you're not careful, you begin to take it for granted. And that relationship with your Savior will grow cold. The point where when He begins to try to work in your life, you begin to, my friend, stand up to what He's doing in your world. You ought to sit down and let Him work. I'm afraid that there's a lot of folk come to church week in, week out. It's been so long since God has personally done a lasting work in their life, and they just take it for granted. You'd never run down here to the First Baptist Church and be a part of that. You would, don't get mad at me now, but you wouldn't run down here to Lincoln Avenue and be a part of a ministry like that's got so many things going on. You want to be somewhere where God is. But if you're not careful, you'll get backslid sitting in an atmosphere where God's at. Amen. You'll just take it for granted. Well, God's give us a preacher and God's give us a choir and God shows up every now and then and we have testimonies and altars are full and sinners are getting saved. Yeah, but what is God? What have you let God do in your life lately? She's got the place. She becomes cold to the Savior. Number two, the danger of taking for granted the presence of God is she got critical to the saints. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? You know what that means? Left me means that at some point in time, Mary had been serving. Mary had been engaged in laboring and working, and she realized that, yes, this is important, but this is not nearly as important as him sitting in there and me being in here. I'm going to engage and get at his feet again and hear what he has to say. Martha watches that and looks at that and it begins to agitate her. She's taking it for granted. Amen. He's going to show up down the road like he always has. And the danger in that mentality is you begin to be critical of everybody else around you. Listen to this. Mary, sitting at the feet of the Lord, she could have been critical of Martha for being so busy and being rude. The Lord's here. Martha, you ought to be sitting down. But she can't have a critical spirit in the same presence of God. People who live, and listen to me real good and well, this is true of preachers, church members, deacons, choir singers. Amen. It's as true in your life as it is mine. People who dwell in the presence of God find it real hard to be critical of the saints. My sister hath left me alone to serve. Bid her that she help me. You know what Martha's saying? Mary ain't doing it how I think Mary ought to be doing it. Amen. As a pastor, you get to hear a lot of things that people think about other people. I can't imagine what the Lord feels like. Well, I don't like this and I don't like that, and you need to straighten her out and straighten him out, and you need to, and I know these things got to be dealt with. We got to, amen, there's issues in a church you got to deal with. You don't overlook everything. But I'm going to tell you something. People who live in the presence of God find it hard to be critical toward other saints. It's those that have taken it for granted that began to be critical. Well, Gerald, I don't know why Gerald wears his coat up there on the front row. I don't know why he said this or they said that. And they began to nitpick every little thing that everybody else is doing. You ever met that crowd that ain't got nothing good to say about anybody? That's where Martha is. Martha's there. Martha's just taking it for granted. But Jerry, the Lord's here. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna pull myself away out of His presence to do something. Makes me look good. Makes me look special. Makes me look like the one that really cares about the Lord. But she mistook. Amen. Her mistake was she took for granted the presence of God. And people that do, and take His presence for granted wind up being very critical people, hard to deal with. They're that crowd that I've told you about. When they walk in, you don't know whether to hug them or to slap them in the jaws. You ever met that crowd? I mean, just critical and negative about everything. Amen. You either preach too loud or amen. Preach too long. Amen. Choir sings too many songs. This person shouts too much. I've heard it all. It's hard to be critical. Come in and be critical when you've been laid up in the presence of God and your attention's so on Him, you can't really even see all the things that you don't like. Amen. I want God to hang around and I want to be able to enjoy it. Take Him for granted. Watch this, number three, and I'm done. She got cumbered in service. The word cumbered's an interesting word. It means to be wrapped up in. She was wrapped up in not Him showing up, but in what she could do. It was all about her. In fact, listen to what her statement is, Brother Larry. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her that she help me. You know what it's all about? Me, 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 me. It ain't about the Lord anymore. It's about Martha. It ain't even about the ministry that she's offering and the service she's providing. It's just about Martha. She's wrapped up in herself. And I say, when you get wrapped up in yourself more than you are the presence of God, you begin to be, you've done past the line, you're taking it for granted that the Lord just has to show up in your life. I think Martha got the place she thought she was so special in what she was doing. Wrapped up in Martha, that Lucas, she began to take it for granted. The Lord will be here. It's something He owes me. I don't care who you are. God don't owe you nothing. I don't care what you do. I don't care. And you listen to me real good and well. I shared this other night. But the statement the Lord makes to Martha is, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary had chosen the good part, and He said it'll not be taken away. Amen. What Mary was experiencing was what God was doing in Mary, and what God did in Mary was not, it could not be taken away from her. There wasn't a devil this side of hell that could steal away what God was doing in her heart at the feet of Jesus. But that statement is also, as He's making that statement about Mary, don't forget He's speaking to Martha. It's like a backhanded rebuke to Martha. Martha, what she's getting ain't going to be taken away. But all this stuff you're doing, it can be lost just like that. I'm thinking right now in my mind, of a woman who is a pastor's wife for 40 years. Her husband resigned the church, retired, and 6 months later he died. And after all them years of serving and being known in the community as a faithful pastor's wife, she, Brother Jack, she began to live immoral. She began to fight the church and fight the pastor, tell lies. That, my friend, all she had done in 40 years, when she died, all her family and all her little backslidden little friends that wanted to hang on to what she used to be, they all spoke good about her. But at the end of the day, when we all went home, we all knew that woman lost everything, lost all her testimony, all the deeds she had done had come to nothing. What you do can be taken away. That's why you better live in the presence of God. It ain't about you, it's about Him. We ought to serve, but we ought to serve as we enter into the presence of God. I'm preaching tonight on the danger of taking for granted the presence of God. Boy, it ain't going over like I thought it would. Lord, have mercy. I don't know if y'all quiet because you're tired and bored or if you're thinking tonight. I'm telling you, God's showing up. We better not take it for granted as a church. As individuals, you better not take it for granted. You better make sure you enjoy and let the presence of God affect your life in such a way that what He does in you makes you better and makes you more fit and more qualified to serve Him. Lest you wind up losing everything you've done. Be sad to live your whole life doing and doing and doing and building a name and then losing it all in the end. Amen. Father, I love you. I pray you'd help us. I pray, Father, this evening, Lord, that you'd bless our church and help us, Lord, to do our part to be welcoming to the presence of God. And Father, help us tonight, Lord, to maintain, Lord, that consideration of Christ and, Lord, the conclusion of Christ. We not know you are everything you said you'd be. Lord, you've been more than we could have ever dreamed you to be. And Father, I pray that our concentration would be right. We'd ever maintain that desire to have the presence of God near and close to our life. Father, I ask you now this evening, Lord, that you'd set a hedge about each of us. Help us, Lord, not to take it for granted. But Father, to sit down and to hear what God has to say when He passes by. Father, help us, Lord, to distance ourselves from a me mentality of Christian living. And Father, may we be centered in upon Christ and upon what He desires to do in our life. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Candy, if you would, come to the piano. Let's all stand. There's a few that's come to pray this evening already. We'll go ahead and open the altar. I was going to let you go, but if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, maybe some of y'all need to get on this altar and leave some dishes in the sink and get back to the presence of God. While these are praying, several are coming. Mind the Lord. Mind the Lord. Let the Lord seal up in your heart what He spoke to you about tonight.